This evening we would like to continue with our Christmas sermon series. It's entitled The Five Sayings of Christmas. And as we do, I want to remind you of where we've been in this series. As I began that series, I thought, you know, if we went around and asked people, what are some familiar sayings at Christmas time? Someone might say, well, of course the most familiar is Merry Christmas. And then it might be Happy Holidays. From there it could be Ho Ho Ho. In the mall it might be Charge It. And probably the most often repeated phrase at Christmas time is I Want. But today I want to review with you five biblical sayings. They're less familiar, ones we wouldn't guess, and they're not exactly from the most familiar parts of the Christmas story. The first sermon I preached was called They Shall Call His Name Emmanuel. And that message was all about Jesus, and we went to Isaiah 9:6, and we saw that the Bible promised that one day there would be one who was born who would be known as the Son who was born, the child who was born, and the Son who had come. The Son of Man and the Son of God. And that He shall be known as the one who is the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And then when we looked at Emmanuel, we found out that that name exactly means God with us. And that is the message of Christmas. Not simply that God loves us, not simply that God cares, but that God came to dwell amongst us and become one of us. That's the most astounding thing about Jesus Christ. How He can be 100% man and 100% God. How He is God's perfect man and man's perfect God. And I'm astounded at the way He chose to arrive in this world. He could have shown up as a full-grown man. He could have shown up having Mary to be 7 or 8 months pregnant. But He came full-term, born just like one of us, so that He might identify with everything about us. The Scripture says He was tempted in every way like as we, yet was without sin. Then we went to this message, Rachel weeping for her children. I don't imagine that any of you think of that as part of the Christmas story. And that was looking back at a prophecy from the book of Jeremiah, whenever the nation of Israel was taken captive. And it was fulfilled not only then, but also in the time of Herod, when Herod had such a terrible reaction to Jesus. And he wanted to make sure that this one who was called the King of the Jews would not make it. He would not live. And so Herod made a proclamation and he said, let's kill every male child in this area who's 2 years old and younger. One of the things I emphasized that day was that for Christmas, some of those boys got killed. And I think Christmas still does that to people. Sometimes people get real agitated when we talk about Christmas or a holiday, especially if we try to talk about Jesus being the Savior of the world and that He had come to die and pay the penalty for our sins. Some just cannot live with that. And it's the same situation. Herod saw himself as the King of the Jews. When the Magi came and says, where is he who is born King of the Jews? He said, King of the Jews? Why, I'm King of the Jews. I've got to do something. Only one of us can be on the throne. And I think Christmas does that to many of us, that we have to decide who's going to live on the throne of our own life. Will it be me, or will it be Jesus Christ? Last Sunday, we looked at this message. He has put down the mighty and exalted the lowly. He's put down the mighty from their thrones and lifted up those who are humble. And we talked about that's the only way to receive Christmas. As soon as we make Christmas about me, about us, about what I can get or what I can give, about our family or about anything other than Jesus Christ, we'll miss it. But we need to be like Mary, who said those words in the Magnificat. How is it that this could be to me? Lord, let it come. And He says, in this very act, He has dethroned the high and mighty, and He has exalted those who will be lowly. Now tonight, we're going to be looking at the man named Simeon. And our message is entitled, My Eyes Have Seen Your Salvation. And we'll see that an old man who hung out in the temple for many years recognized soon after Jesus' birth that He really was the Son of God. But many people missed Him. And tonight is about the right reaction to Christmas, and that is worship of Christ, the newborn King. Tomorrow morning at 10:15, we'll finish this sermon series. It's entitled, Nothing is Impossible with God. And those words were said by an angel to Mary whenever Mary said, "How can this be?" And the angel said, "Don't forget your cousin Elizabeth, your relative. She's with child and she's old and she's barren. And if God can do that, then He can have a child be born to you, Mary, a virgin young girl." And tomorrow we'll talk about life's impossibilities, and that message will be about believe. Tonight, would you open your Bible with me to the book of Luke in chapter 2. We'll begin reading in verse 21. Luke 2, 21, and the scripture will not be projected, so I would appreciate it if you would open a Bible. Luke 2, beginning in verse 21. At the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time for their purification according to the law of Moses had come, and that was 40 days later, so Jesus is now about 6 weeks old, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms, and he blessed God, and he said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel.' And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed.'" Let's talk about this Simeon. Just who is he? From the scripture, we find out that he was a man who was just. That means that he did what was right. He was devout. That means he was dedicated to God's glory. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was a patient old man, and the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Now, I don't know if you can imagine an older gentleman like that, but I love men like that, who are patient, spirit-filled, just and devout, so approachable, so much wisdom, so ready to share the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. In Orthodoxy, Simeon is known as Righteous Simeon, the God-receiver. And it was according to the testimony of Luke here, the evangelist, that he was a just and devout man waiting for Israel's consolation, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. But God promised him that he would not die until he saw the Messiah, Christ the Lord, come into the world. So let's talk first of all tonight about what Simeon saw. Remember, Jesus is about 6 weeks old. Mary and Joseph bring him to the temple for his time of dedication. He had been circumcised when he was 8 days old. And Simeon was there, as many other people would have been to the temple. But you see, I'm sure that holy family passed by many other people, but nobody saw what Simeon saw. Because Simeon realized that this was no ordinary child. And this was no ordinary couple. Perhaps it went something like this. Simeon was not sure why the Spirit was leading him to the temple on this day, but each new day brought him a day closer to the fulfillment of God's promise, "You will not see death until you've seen the Lord's Christ." Maybe today, he mused, and finally reached the top of the temple steps. As he paced back and forth on the finely laid floors of the outer patio, Simeon reflected upon his longtime career in serving God. He was not a priest. He was not a prophet. He was simply a soldier in the Lord's army, a common man with an uncommon attunement to the Spirit of God. In a time when prophecy was rare and the Lord was often silent, the word fell upon this one servant. Isn't it interesting that the name Simeon means one who hears and obeys? Called to duty, Simeon stood attention and waited expectantly for the one who would bring salvation to the world. As his feet began to cramp and the midday sun seared almost on his almost bare scalp, the old soldier felt a familiar tug in his spirit. Something was happening. The Lord was moving. Where? What was God saying to him? Then, in an inaudible whisper that glided through the ears of his soul, Simeon heard the Spirit's voice. There, Simeon. Look there. Your waiting has come to an end. At that moment, a young couple topped the temple steps and emerged onto the porch. He saw them coming for dedication. It was Mary and Joseph and 6-week-old baby Jesus. That's what Simeon saw. But I want you to realize that some saw what Simeon saw, but not everyone recognized them as the family of Jesus the Christ, the newborn King. So I want your spiritual eyes to take it in. And I just want to ask you, do you see what Simeon saw? Do you see Jesus as the Christ, the newborn King? Or was he just another Jewish baby born in Bethlehem, brought to Jerusalem to be dedicated, and life goes on? Let's talk now about what Simeon knew. You see, Simeon, being a just and devout man, a Jewish man who was acquainted with the temple courts and knew the Scripture as the Word of God, he would have been very familiar with the prophecies of the Old Testament. And he knew that the Old Testament said that one day a boy would be born of a virgin woman, and he would be God's Messiah. I'm guessing that Simeon knew Scriptures like this. Isaiah 9:6. 600 years before Jesus was born, the Scripture says, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of the government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." And I'm sure Simeon meditated upon that and let that grow in his heart to say, one day there'll be a miraculous birth and not many will know it, but God's Spirit will reveal that to me. I'm sure he was familiar with Isaiah 7:14 that says, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel." And Micah 5:2, "But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for one who shall be the ruler of Israel, whose origin is from old and from ancient days." And so you see, Simeon knew something that others didn't know. And right in this room tonight, everybody sees the birth of Jesus, but not everybody knows that He is, you see, the Lord's Christ. Do you know what Simeon knew? Orthodox historians say that righteous Simeon was one of the 70 scholars who went to Alexandria to translate the Holy Scriptures into Greek. One of the ones that helped translate the Septuagint. And there's a story that goes like this, that as he was translating Isaiah and got to the words, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive in the womb and bring forth a son," he thought the virgin was an inaccurate word, and he changed it to woman, and that an angel appeared to him and said, "No, that's what it's meant to be." And the promise was made that he would see the Lord's Christ. Now, we don't put any you see, stock in saying that's what happened, but that's Orthodox, the Orthodox Church, that's the history of Saint Simeon. And I want to say that this man knew something that can be confirmed in Scripture and by the Spirit and perhaps the appearance of an angel, but I want you to know that you can know because of the Scripture that Jesus is the Lord's Christ. He is the consolation of Israel. He is the light of the Gentiles. And we know that this babe grew to be a man. He lived a sinless life, died a vicarious death, paid the penalty for our sin once for all. We need to know that. And then lastly tonight, I just want you to see what Simeon did. I think this is such a wonderful picture. To see this 80-something old righteous man in the temple saying, "Oh, there he is!" And having that confirmation in the Spirit, "He is the one." And Simeon takes that 6-week-old baby from Mary. He holds, listen, God in his arms, right? Jesus is God in the flesh. He holds God in his arms. And you see, he lifts him up and he blesses the Lord. And he says, "Lord, you are now letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have now seen your salvation, which you've prepared before the face of all peoples. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." This child was Jesus, the Holy Son of God who had broken into human history. A tear of shock and joy probably rolled down Simeon's cheek as the Lord of all creation gurgled and cooed in his arms. God had kept his promise. Simeon's life was now complete. So tonight we've learned simply that Jesus is God's salvation. He is the light to the Gentiles. He is the glory of Israel. The Scripture says that He is God's revelation. He has revealed God's will. We know that Jesus is an offense to some. And He's the cornerstone of all history and all biblical truth to others. Here's what Peter says: "Behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. Whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone and the stone of stumbling and the rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, and they were destined to do it." I just want to ask you, when you look at Jesus, when you consider what you know about Jesus, what do you do with Jesus? Is He the cornerstone of your life, or is He a rock of offense? Does He cause you to trip and fall? The Apostle Paul declares this. He says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with Him, seated with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God." No one else that day in that temple court did what Simeon did. In fact, many people who may have been there and many people from there on out, rather than lifting up Jesus as the Christ, spent their lives putting Him down and destroying His holy name. So tonight it comes down to you and to me. And so I close by simply asking these questions. Have you seen Jesus as God's redemption? Do you understand that He is the ransom for your soul? That there's natural enmity between you and God. There's a separation, and God has made a way. I ask you, do you know Jesus as your salvation. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Simeon knew that before Jesus even quoted those words to Nicodemus. The right response to Christmas is worship. And I ask you, will you worship Jesus Christ, the newborn King? There's only one name under heaven by which all men can be saved, and that is the name of Jesus. So we all need to be more like Simeon, living a Holy Spirit-filled life full of praise to God, living a righteous and devout lifestyle, seeing Jesus as the salvation who has come for the Jew and the Gentile. So let us, so to speak, take up Jesus in our arms in praise and bless the Lord. We need to be like Anna. There was an old prophetess there too. She was thankful and always about the Lord's work. She never stopped her worship of the Lord. She fasted and prayed often. And when she saw the baby Jesus, she gave thanks to God. We need to be like His mother, Mary. Having a heart completely surrendered to the will of God, Mary, the chosen mother to be of Jesus, responded to the angel Gabriel's startling announcement and said, "I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." As you worship Christ, the newborn King, can you say, "Lord, may it be to me according to your holy will"? We need to be like the shepherds, believing and responding and witnessing, taking the announcement of the angel, hurrying to go to the manger, spreading the word concerning what happened. We too need to go and tell it. And we need to be like the Magi, who came from the east on a long, long, dangerous journey with one purpose in mind, and that is to worship Christ, the newborn King, presented themselves first, and then that gold, a tribute worthy of a king, and that frankincense, a fragrance often used to honor God with the smoke of incense, and myrrh, a spice used to embalm the dead, foretelling Jesus' sacrificial death to come. So let us, giving of ourselves and our hearts and our gifts to the Lord, let us bow down to worship that same newborn King. Jesus, who is He? He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. Almighty Father, we come before You this evening. And as we do, Lord, each one of us, we've come just as I am, so to speak. Some of us have seen Him as the Christ, and we know Your Word and know He's the fulfillment. He is the light of the world. He is the consolation of Israel. He's the glory of Israel. He is the light of revelation to the Gentiles, and we know that. And Father, some of us have worshipped Him as Christ the King, and others have not. And so tonight, Lord, as we've gathered in this place, and we've given praise, and we've shared our friendship, and we're about to sit at the Lord's table and give of our offerings, Father, come amongst us and speak the message that only You can speak through Your Spirit. Granting, Father, a holy peace that comes upon each person, that in each heart they might worship Jesus Christ, the newborn King. In His holy and precious name we pray. Amen.